You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So last week, I started sharing on what makes us different. What makes us different? I want to continue this week just to take it to the next level. Amen? Is your cup full? Is your cup running over after the worship? Wow. God's presence is what makes the difference. Amen. We started last week and I said Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27, it talks about that God will give us a new heart. And then He'll place a new spirit on the inside. And that talks about being born again, that God will come and touch our hearts, fill it with His righteousness, sanctify it, so that our spirits can be new. And then He'll place His spirit on the inside. He'll fill us with the Holy Spirit. And that's what makes us different as children of God, that we are filled with God's presence. It's all about the heart, a heart that's able to forgive, a heart that's full of faith, a heart that's full of the Word of God. Amen? And us being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we said how Peter and John, who were uneducated, how people responded and said, although we know that they're uneducated, we can see that they've been with Jesus. They've been in the presence of God. Amen? And people should be able to see that you've been in God's presence. Romans 8 says that as sons and daughters of God should be led by the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of God that makes the difference. Heaven's atmosphere that's in your heart. Peace that surpasses all understanding. How do we know when somebody is being led by the Holy Spirit? How do we know? I mean, I'm sure there are many theologians out there that will be able to say to you, how do we know? But let me do an easy test. If you are being led by the Holy Spirit, if you're living on this earth as a person that's filled with God's presence, are you living just to go to heaven? Or are you walking on this earth as a person that's from heaven? Can I say that again? Are you just got an attitude of, I just want to get to heaven? Or are you walking here on earth as a person with an assignment from heaven? Go think about that. Let it sink in. Because we are seated in heavenly places. Everything that Jesus taught His disciples, when they said, how should we pray? He said, pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You're on earth as it is in heaven. He says, when you pray, where two or more of you agree upon anything, whatever you bind here on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose here on earth is loosed in heaven. And what two or more agree upon here on earth, it shall be done by your Father who sits in heaven. So guess what? Whether you like it or not, you've got a heavenly calling. How are you responding to that heavenly calling? Heaven's got an assignment for you. Turn to the person next to you and say, whether you like it or not, you've got a heavenly calling. We have a heavenly calling. We should know what that heavenly calling is. As a matter of fact, everything that we do here on earth, the way that we build here on earth, should be according to heaven's pattern. Jesus said, I don't do anything here on earth unless I see my Father in heaven doing it. So sometimes we are so focused here upon the earth, but we should have an attitude, a mindset, heaven. Amen? Get heaven's opinion about your neighbor. Get heaven's opinion about your wife, your spouse, your husband. This church is all about fulfilling heaven's calling. Do you know I had other plans for my life? Are you shocked? Growing up, pastor was not at the top of my list. I knew in my heart God had called me, but I wanted to do my own things. Properties, architecture. I even remember driving to the university for my interview. A voice here in my heart says, theology, that's what you have to study. That's what you're going to be. I said, no. Any other stubborn people in the building here this morning? Anybody written the Jonah test? Am I talking to the right people here? But you know, today I'm 1,000% persuaded that what we are doing here is heaven's calling. You can go and try, and I highly recommend it. Young people, if God has called you to do something and you don't want to do it, I highly recommend try and run away. It's not going to work. God's got a heavenly calling and a heavenly plan, and heaven does not change its mind about you. I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The disciples even said, how should we pray? He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. So my advice to you is, align your life with heaven's calling. Amen? A matter of fact, everything that God tells us to do is to manifest heaven here on earth. That's our assignment. In the worship this morning, what did you experience? Heaven's atmosphere. Let me see your hand. You experience heaven's atmosphere? You cannot buy that. You cannot fake that. That's heaven that comes down when we worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, are you ready? What makes us different? Part two, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you've planned good things for us, that you've got an assignment for us here on earth to manifest heaven's presence, oh Father. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Let your people hear your voice upon my voice, touch and change hearts, change mindsets, change attitudes, and let faith be stirred up in your people's hearts to step out and be one with the difference. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, everything that God has made about you, the way that you were designed from the beginning, was to be clothed with God's glory, was to walk here on earth and manifest His presence wherever you go. That's our heavenly calling. Guess what? Just because you've got a heavenly calling doesn't mean hell cannot break loose around you. Anybody experience that? Some darkness coming against you, unrighteousness coming against you. But it's there where you need heaven's opinion about your situation so that you can manifest light where there's darkness. The blessing is greater than the curse. Light expels darkness. And God has made a rich deposit on the inside of us. His word on the inside of you, His light on the inside of you, His life on the inside of you, His spirit on the inside of you, so that we can go out in a world where there's no hope and manifest His presence. Turn to the person next to you, say, you have a heavenly calling. Turn to the person on the other side, say, you have a heavenly calling. The Word of God is the standard for our lives. If you want to be a Christian and live according to this word, you have to make this the standard for your life. When you go look at people that were appointed a deacon, not even an apostle, a deacon gets appointed. He has to be filled with the Word of God, faith in his heart, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of us are not living victorious lives because we're not giving the Word the rightful place in our hearts. But everything about you is designed for your heart to be filled with the Word of God, full of faith so that you can please God, filled with the Holy Spirit that wherever you go, you can manifest His presence and His peace. If we want to be Christians with a difference, this is it. This is the manual from heaven to live on earth. So you have to read this to get God's opinion about yourself. If you feel unsure of what God has planned for you, if you feel unsure about your future, if you feel too many things have come against you, just go spend some time here and get God's opinion, heaven's opinion about your situation. You have to read your Bible. If you want to be a Christian, you have to read your Bible. Successful living that can continue, Joshua 1 verse 8 gives us clear instruction that this word must be in your mouth, must be in your heart. You have to say it. You have to observe it and do it. And then God will make your way successful. But everybody wants instant. Instant gratification. Come on, I want you to finish strong. I don't want you to be on a big dipper like this the whole time. You know what this word does? It puts peace in your heart that even when there's a storm around you, you can be calm. That's why Jesus rebuked his disciples when they got in the boat to go to the other side and there was a storm. They said, "Save us, save us." He was thinking, "Why are you asking me to save you when I've given you authority to speak to storms?" Many of us are asking Jesus to do things that he has told us to do. And that's why many of your situation and circumstances don't change. Guess what happened when Jaden, my son, who's 25, asked me, "Daddy, please help me tie my shoes." I think, what? You're 25. I've showed you how to tie shoes decades ago, tie it and move on. But that's how we sometimes respond as Christians. Am I talking to the right people here? This word, the Bible says, holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit and wrote down holy scriptures. Everything about your design when you are born again, you've been sanctified, you've been made righteous, so that these holy scriptures can work in you and move you to do things for God. You're on this earth. This is Christian living. The Holy Spirit is still working today. We're not just here to preach to you good messages. But I want to ignite and light a fire on the inside of you that you will go out and go pray for some people. When last did you pray for somebody? When last did you allow the light on the inside of you to shine into somebody's life? When last did you take the water, living water that's on the inside of you, and let it just gush out and water somebody who had no hope? But sometimes we are so hopeless ourselves because we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and with us and through us. God has called us to be one with the difference, to go into the world. We should be living a life in obedience to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can still move us, can move your heart to do certain things. This word moved, holy men, was moved by the Holy Spirit. Wrote down holy scriptures. This is why when you read this, this is what makes Christianity so much different than all other religions. This word is living. There's light and life in it. You think you're reading the Bible, the Bible's reading you. Discerning the intents and the thoughts of your heart. You don't know what to do, just go read this. I say to my kids, I say, read a proverb a day. There's 31 of them. Start by reading a proverb. It's going to just give you some advice. Every day, just a little bit of counsel. Take some time, read the Word of God, read it systematically. Some of you play Russian roulette. No, systematically, start in Genesis and read right through. Start in in Matthew and read through the New Testament and go then to the beginning. Read through it systematically, patiently, attentively. Give attention to what God is saying. Because this is His Word. Every time you read this, you're spending time with Jesus. Amen. This Word became flesh, manifested, died for you and for me. Turn to the person next to you and say, radical obedience. Can I tell you something? When you say you want to be like Jesus, Jesus came to this earth with radical obedience. And He's going to require radical obedience of us. When you make this the standard for your life, by its very nature, when you allow this into your heart, it will change you and you'll find yourself acting with God, walking with God. If you say, God, come into my life, and you receive this Word with meekness into your heart, it will start to change your behavior. Do you believe that this is living and alive? That's why anybody can come to this church. That's why anybody is welcome to come to this church. Because when they come to this church, they'll experience light and life. And light will always confront darkness. And then you decide if you want to change or not change. You decide whether you want to be obedient or not obedient to the Word of God. But this Word is given by inspiration from heaven. Go to 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 in your Bibles. Look at what the Bible says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why we cannot just tell stories in church. We have to preach the Word of God in church. Because Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What do we need in a world where there's so much unrighteousness? We need instruction in righteousness. Not to condemn people, judge people. Instruction in righteousness. What is the right thing to do? What is heaven's opinion? Matthew 6 verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete. Turn to the person next to you and say, you can be complete. Tell them you can feel complete. Tell them now, just read your Bible. Yes! When you feel like, oh, I'm nobody, nothing's working out, I'm so incomplete, just go read this. When you start reading this, you'll see Jesus will say, you are complete. You are perfect. When you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I formed you. I shaped you. The purpose for this Word is to make you complete. Not perfect. No, anybody perfect here? No. But yet when you read this, you'll see in Matthew 5:48, it says, be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. So this will show you, because the more you spend time in this Word, the more you'll see that you like Jesus. You are made in His image and in His likeness. And that by its very nature will start to change your behavior. The way that you talk, the way that you behave, the way that you do things. By just spending time in this, your speech will change. Can I just throw something out there? You know, we live in a nation. Well, let me just talk about us as South Afrikaans people. We can be sometimes very sarcastic. Anybody else have got that in your culture, sarcasm? It's ugly. It's not nice. It's a way of being rude but making a joke. Stop doing that. There's no sarcasm in heaven. Oh, now it's quiet. There's no sarcasm in heaven. Don't know why, I feel it. There's no sarcasm in heaven. If you want your spiritual life and your faith to go to a new level, many of you are saying, take my faith to a new level. Stop being sarcastic. Because your faith can never rise above your confession. How would you like heaven to be sarcastic with you? Putting your faith out there, trusting God and saying, Call that faith. That's like Mickey Mouse faith. That doesn't work here. We're looking for some Gabriel faith. Am I talking to the right people here? When you've received the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying not to have fun and make jokes. I mean, please have that. I'm saying sarcasm. You know what? Sarcasm is when you sugarcoat something, but you're actually breaking down somebody. Jesus is the gift with a lift. Jesus will lift your faith, not break it down. Why don't you just try it for a month and see where your faith goes? Some of us have to say, for the next year, I'm not going to be sarcastic, and see what it does to your faith. The Bible actually says, when somebody says they were only joking, it's like putting fire coals in your lap and thinking it won't burn. I'm just joking, it's not going to burn. It's going to burn. Turn to the person next to you and say, be very careful what you say. The Holy Spirit is here to equip you and to strengthen you, to get you ready for any and every situation. Heaven's atmosphere in your heart. Many times people don't reach their full potential because they don't yield to the Holy Spirit and they don't make the Word of God the standard for their lives. Heaven's looking at you and thinking your potential with the help of the Holy Spirit and with this Word working in you and with you and through you is unlimited. What God can do in you through just saying, Lord, your will and not my will. Next level. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's nothing ordinary about you. Think about this. The Word equips you so that you can be complete. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, heaven has planned good works for you before you were born. For you to be able to fulfill the good works that God has planned for you, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need His grace in your life. Who of you would like heaven's list of the things that you should do? If you want that list, you have to spend time with the one in heaven, Jesus. Amen? And the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what is it that you have to do. But He has planned good works for us. I sometimes say, God, are we on schedule? Am I behind in what you've called us to do? Help us, Lord, to catch up and do everything that we have to do. God has called us for good works. If you want to do those good works, even Jesus could only do good works when God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen? Can you see why you have to pray that prayer, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me? Empower me, strengthen me. Help me, Lord, that this will become the standard for my life. When we can obey God's word and do what heaven has predestined for us, God gets all the glory. But what the devil wants you not to do it, to be disobedient, because then he gets the glory. That's why he wants to get you off heaven's assignment. But when God gives you a prophetic picture of the things that he has planned for you, you'll be able to walk in it by the grace of God. Amen? A Joseph, prophetic picture of where he belongs, and he sees that and he moves in that. Can I tell you something? When I look at this, you know, who of you like to look for loopholes to get out of something? Or you try and find the shortcut or the how can we just, let me see your hand. So let me just give you a heads up. I've studied this and I've looked for loopholes to get away from what I'm supposed to do. And there's no excuse. There's no excuse. I can tell you now, I've had these conversations with God. Tell you now, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And God said to me, you can go and do it. He said, you can go and do, you can go in business and do business. He said, I'll even bless you that people will know you as a Christian businessman, blessing the ministry, helping the ministry, doing crusades and building churches. He says, I'll even do that for you. He says, but when you stand before me one day, you'll give account as a pastor. So you still want to do your own thing? Can I flip it around? Some of you, God has called as financial channels. You said, God, I make a commitment to you. You bless my business, I'll give this percentage. Has God ever seen the percentage that you've promised? We cannot play with God. If God has called us to do things, let's do it. If you know God has placed in your heart to do certain things, don't wait. There's no such time as a perfect time. You take the first step and you do it. Sometimes you don't know how it's going to work out. You're just going to have to take that first step. I always say that. In this building project, it helped me so much when I didn't know how it was going to work out. The Lord said, just take the first step. That's what makes us different. Listen to me. The light and the life on the inside of you only moves when you move. What I mean by that, it's not you moving it. When you take that step and say, God, I'm going to trust you, and you take that step, the light of God, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. So when you take that step, the light moves and the darkness moves. And now you can see what's the next step. But many times we do nothing. God, you move, then I'll move. You let the million candlelight, light from heaven, shine upon my ways and go before me, Lord. It doesn't work like that. He says, my spirit will go before you, but you have to move. Every place you put your feet, I'm going to give it to you. We say, Lord, give it to me, give it to me, bring it to me. And God says, I'm not giving you anything. Take a step. Am I talking to the right people here? Sometimes we're telling God to do things that He's told us to do. He says, you take Joshua, you go into that promised land, and everywhere you put your feet is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it to you. Sometimes you're going to have to walk up to somebody. God blesses the work of your hands. Sometimes you're going to have to go put your hand on something. And once you put your hand on something, then it's going to be blessed. Lord, bless me. Jeremiah 29, the good thought, just bring it to me and fill my life with good things. God says, no, I've given you the grace. I've empowered you. Go and do it. He says, do business until I come back. He told Noah, build the ark this high, this wide, that long. Figure it out. Am I talking to the right people here? Sometimes our charismatics, we want to tell God what to do the whole time. But God has given us instruction. He has filled us with the Holy Spirit. Colossians 2 verse 9, it says, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what that means? It means Jesus, when He walked on this earth, and even today, the fullness of God, He was 100% God, 100% man, was on the inside of Him. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Can you see this? The fullness of the Godhead was in Jesus, and you are in Jesus. Jesus, when He prayed for the disciples in John 17, He says, Father, the glory that You have given Me, I've given them, so that the world can believe. Now go into this world and manifest that glory. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's nothing ordinary about you. You know, sometimes when we talk about the Christian life, I'm going to be a Christian. No! As a Christian, you should get excited. There's light, life on the inside of you. Resurrection power on the inside of you. I'm telling you now, when you're reading this, this is a manual from heaven to live you on earth. I want to say it again. A manual from heaven. God breathed. Holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote down holy scriptures for instruction, for correction, but to help you to become complete. If I told you now, I had a book here, secret little book, that if you read through it, you'll know how to be complete and success. 1,000 rand for a book like that, everybody would buy it. Am I right? If I told you, I've got a little book here, we've just written it, latest release, how to program your computer to help you to be perfect and complete. All you have to do is put this virtual mask on and spend 1 hour and you'll know exactly what to do. Who would buy the mask? Who would buy the everything? Let me see your hand. Yes. It's lying at home. Just go home, open it and start reading it. 1 hour a day and see what will happen in your life. Am I talking to the right people here? We first have to come with a gimmick, then you buy it. I'm not here to dupe you, I'm here to give you the truth, amen? Jesus has given us the answer here in His Word. What makes us different is God's presence. You know, I'm a guy, I don't like... Don't give me the 15-page document, give me the one-pager. And in that one-pager, give me the executive summary that I can know what I should do. Anybody else like that? Who of you would like the executive summary? I found the executive summary for us for Christian living in the Bible. Can I read the executive summary to you? Go in your Bibles to Colossians 3, verse 12 to 17, 5 verses. If you can do these 5 verses, I'm telling you now, successful living. Turn to the person next to you and say, executive summary. So you know it's going to be loaded. Amen. Colossians 3 verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, that means you are very special. You've been specially elected by God. Amen. Holy and beloved. So you're loved by God. Amen. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must forgive. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's heaven's atmosphere in your heart. To which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Make this the standard for your life and give the word of God the rightful place in your heart. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's loaded. If you want to do that, you cannot. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen? If you try and do that on your own, in your own strength, you're going to fail. Or if you get some of it right, you're going to become arrogant and think, wow, look at me, what I can do. To forgive as Christ has forgiven you, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. To be meek, to be kind, to be gentle, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you make this the standard for your life. That's what people will start to see in your life. Can I ask you this question? When you spend time with people, when you talk to people, do they experience the Holy Spirit? Do they experience that executive summary? Say, hey, no. It's a challenging word, but this is what makes us different. Not relying on our own strength and ability, but relying on God's ability. When last did you just go and pray for somebody? When last you just go speak some light and life and hope into somebody's life? Do you want a little bit more? Do you want your cup to run over? Jay, come here quickly. I'm going to close. God wants his light and life in our lives. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what does he say? He says he shines his light into our hearts. When the light of God shines into your life, it will change your direction. When the light of God shone on Paul's life, he fell to the ground. As a matter of fact, blindness hit him. That which he was convinced to do, to kill Christians, when that light shined into his life, it changed his direction completely. So when we say we are Christians, we've allowed the light of God to shine into our lives, something should change. Otherwise, you're convinced and not converted. Say, Aina. What do I mean? You're serving God from here and not from here. Because God shines his light into this part of you. But if you keep it closed, the light cannot come in. So that you can meet with Jesus face to face. This is what God wants to do. This is what makes Christianity different. What is it all about? It's all about the heart. It's all about intimacy. It's all about Jesus being your first love. David, when he messed up, his prayer was, Lord, restore the joy of your salvation unto me. So God wants to meet with us face to face. That's what Jesus has done. When you go to the book of Exodus, Moses, the Bible says when he met with God, he met with him face to face. Now, many of us, we think like, when you meet face to face with your boss, stand on that side of the, it's like there's a desk there and now we're meeting face to face. That's not how Moses met with God. He says, I'm meeting with you face to face like a friend. It's like this, yeah. It's not even like this. It's not even like this. When he meets with you, it's your head against his head. Then, like if you've seen rugby teams, when you say, buddy, I've got your back, it's like this, head to head, head to head. Have you seen rugby teams and soccer teams when they score a goal or we've done something great or they say, listen, you're going onto the field and you're going to make a difference? He says, just stay here, just stay here. The Hebrew for that is panim el panim. I'm here, it's intimate, it's close, I trust you, I can allow you to be intimate with me, face to face. Amen. When you are with somebody like this, it's not just here intimate. Guess what? When you meet like God with God like this, God's breath, God's word is breathing life into your life. He says, I'm not just meeting with you face to face, but when I'm meeting with you like this, he breathed on it unto his disciples. When you can be... Let's say you are facing the worst crisis in this world. And now I tell you, you've got a meeting with Jesus face to face in that situation. And you come and you meet with Jesus like this. When you come out of that meeting and people can see your life is centered around Christ Jesus, even if you are facing the worst crisis, what will they say to you? They'll say, you've met with him face to face. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. People say the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come when your life is centered around Christ Jesus. When you meet with him like this face to face, his breath is on you. His words that he is speaking to you now I've got your back, buddy. You're going to make it. When he's saying that, those words, the Bible says, is spirit and it is life. And he's breathing his light and his life into your life. That's what makes you different. That when people can see, like Moses, after he had met with God like this face to face, when he spoke to the people, they could see the glory shining off his face. He didn't see it. He didn't even know it. But the people looked at him and said, what's going on with him? What's this glory shining off? That he had to cover his face with a veil because it was too much for the people. Listen to me. When you start spending time in God's word and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, wherever you go, it will be too much for people. People will say, what? Where have you been? What is this? I feel so depressed. I feel so heavy. And as you came in and you greeted me, when you start greeting people, it's not an ordinary greet. It's what I tell the ushers. I said, when you greet somebody, it's not an ordinary greet. You're greeting them in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going with the full blessing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, with heaven backing you wherever you go, whether you go into the most difficult situation. This is what makes us different. We're in this world where there's darkness, where there's unrighteousness, but we are here to manifest the light and the life of heaven here on earth. This is our assignment here on earth. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you. Love you. Softly, softly. You know, when he hugs me like that, I just, softly, softly, remember? When you see your children young, the Holy Spirit will show you concerning them already. The Bible says, train a child in the way that he should go. That means not every child the same. Let God show you the gifts on the inside and train them according to that. I'm helping some of you here. Because they have certain gifts and calling, and you have to help them to fulfill that. Make them aware of the Holy Spirit from a young age. Teach them. How do you feel in your heart? Family, listen to me. Your children are watching nonsense. God has called them to be one with a difference. But all that they are watching is rubbish. Stealing their faith, stealing their future, and you say, why? Train them from a young age that when they look at something and it's demonic, don't say, oh, how do you feel in your heart when you see that? Not good. Remember that. When you see that again, devil, get away. In this world, we need wisdom. We need the grace of God. Teach your children to love the Word of God. Teach them that Jesus loves them. And then when they spend time with the Word, they are spending time with Jesus, the one that loves them. That they want to read the Word of God. That they want to find out what God has planned for them. Not this boring thing that I now have to do again. Church! Are you still excited to come to church? To be here. Let your children see that you're one with a difference, that you don't miss a Sunday. Train them in that way. Give them instruction in righteousness. You're the parent. I'm going to close with this. You know, my children grew up. They knew. They can go to birthday parties of friends. If it's a good party, of course. But if they had a party on a Sunday morning at 10, it was no. Can I have an amen? Amen. Because Jesus and church comes first. Amen. They love church more than birthday parties. If it was 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock on a Sunday, yes, we'll do whatever we can to get you there. To have fun with your friends, and we'll even take a nice gift as well. But nothing interferes with a Sunday. If you read then, do not neglect the assembly of the saints, as is the manner of some. Don't be you become the sum. You be the one with a difference to be there. I know sometimes things happen, not talking about that, but you know a heart that's longing to be in God's presence. We are one with a difference. I'm closing with this. Go and pray for somebody. Go out and let your light shine wherever you go. When you walk in there, even if there's a crisis, you walk in there with the peace of God in your heart. Peace of God in your heart. There might be a storm here, but there's peace here so that you can come and declare light and life into a situation. That's what the Word of God says. Be one with a difference. You have met with Him face to face. When you are meeting with Him face to face, it's not just trust, it's not just intimacy, it's not just first love. It's Him breathing His light and His life into you so that you can go into the world and allow that light and that life to shine. See you later.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.